to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach, the Olympics are going on, and I was, I've been kind of listening to it. I haven't been really following it much. I'm just kind of catching the little bits. I did see, though, a article about how the triathletes were having trouble being able to swim in the sun. And so they were, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It's been decades since I took my French class, so feel free to correct me. But the point was, is that they couldn't, they didn't know if they'd be actually able to compete in it. They're having issues practicing in it. And then the official said, well, we're going to change it to a duathlon instead of a triathlon. And I thought, oh my God, how disappointing. And about the same day or later that day, there was this half marathon, this big scuttlebutt about this half marathon that actually was the U.S. Track and field person that has to put it together slightly wrong. So it wound up being 12.6 instead of 13.1. And it wasn't a watch error where you actually didn't take your, you know, corners correctly. We've all done it where you go, my watch says it's 13.3, yeah. Right? But the actual, no, it's actually 13.1. This person, whoever did it, actually, the directors came back and said, no, sorry, your half marathon was 12.6. And all I could think was, wow, how as an athlete, how as a coach, do you coach through that? Okay, I've been training for years to do this triathlon, and now, and maybe swimming is my thing. Maybe running and biking are like, you know, because in the triathlon, there's always one or two that you're really good at, and a third that you're like, you know what right. I mean? Maybe not at the Olympic level, but at least the few that I've done, like, I was a swimmer, so the swimmer would have been my thing, and the biking and the running at the time wouldn't have been my thing. Eventually, it became running and swimming, but biking was never my thing. But my point to you is, for you, like as a coach, how do you, one, walk me through that? I'm in the event, and it gets, I'm now 12.6 instead of a 13.1, and I've just found out that I'm not going to be able to do a triathlon. I have to do a duathlon. Or I was seconds. I had a friend that was literally seconds away from qualifying for Boston. And so she had to wait till the next year, and then she qualified by 5 minutes. But it was like literally seconds. I think she had to be under 4 hours, and she was at like 4:02. I'm not kidding. It was like crazy. So how do you coach through that? I mean, I know from a mindset perspective, I'd be asking people, well, what are you making this mean? And we would go through a series of like, what ifs, right? What are you making it mean? How are you taking it on yourself? But that's from a purely mindset perspective, not from my coach. Like, how do you do that?
Well, really similarly, like you have to put in what if situations and thoughts during training.
Okay.
You know, now, by the way, that course being short, you know, one of the things that's interesting today is because marathons are now so popular and half marathons, a lot of them require a qualifying time to get in. So say you trained, you know, for this half marathon and you were using it as a qualifier to get into something, you can see how that would be like, it's so frustrating. And every runner has a Garmin. So I'm sure they realized it at some point, this is off. I mean, there's no way, or they got to the finish line. And, you know, it's interesting because when I first started racing, and I'm sure when you first started racing, there was no Garmins or anything, right? There wasn't all that there is now. So there's more, I feel like there's more pressure even on the recreational runner, you know, not just the elites, but everybody that they want to know their time, and all this data is available. So I feel like part of what you do in training is talk about what's going to happen if. So like, for example, anything that's long distance endurance wise, we bring in things like, what's your fueling? You know, how are you going to eat? With triathlons, you want to prepare for things like flat tires, things like, right? Something could go wrong here. Mm-hmm. So you have to, when you start to see more headlines or more of these things happening, then it just allows me to put more questions in, like what's, you know. And by the way, I had a client that did an Ironman, and the same thing happened. It was the kind of thing where the weather wasn't cooperating. So they were on the fence, like they didn't know if they were going to swim. Are we going to swim? You know, back and forth and back and forth. So then they finally decided, let's do the swim. Off they go. Well, guess what? They got in the water, started going, and then lightning or thunder, one of the two. So then they're like, everyone out, everyone out. And then he got to finish the bike and the run. And he said to me, but I'm not a real Ironman because I only swam, you know, the Ironman course is 2.4 for the swim. And he swam, I want to say 1.8. I mean, it was, you know, so as the coach, I said to him, you're an Ironman because you survived. The whole event was so stressful on the mind. You know, you already got your body prepared and, you know, having to panic and get out of the water, all of that. So I tried to help him find the success and what he had accomplished. And then I said, now, you know, you can do it. Let's find another race. And then we'll, you know, you'll have your, but you know, I get that where you're like, I'm not an Ironman. I didn't swim the whole distance, or I didn't bike the whole distance or whatever it is.
Right.
So I can imagine getting to the Olympics and, you know, I mean, you're not an Olympian. However, same thing. It's like, whatever you're doing to train for your event as your coach, to me, that's the same. Right now, I've obviously never trained an Olympic athlete. However, to me, it's like whether you're trying to just train for your recreational neighborhood 5K or you're doing an Ironman marathon, all these events, we have a lot of ultra runners, that's your event. So I think it's as big of a deal, right, for you. So preparing for how am I going to handle these situations is a huge mindset part of it, which is why, guys, we have the double. I'm always the physical, you know, that's my thing. And then Caroline does the mindset. But I mean, it's not like we don't discuss those things as well.
Right. And that's why we always say, like, I'm 80% mindset, 20%, you know, physical. You're 80% physical, 20% mindset, because she's going to be the one that when you send in that gait analysis and say, this is what I'm training for, or this is what I'm worried about, she's going to talk back to you and give you that training. I'm going to be the one that when you post maybe in the group, or if you send in question, as I kind of send it over to Valerie, I might see some self-talk that's not going to help you. It's just not going to serve you. There is some self-talk, the what if self-talk, how am I going to get through this self-talk, but also the what am I making it mean. We had a triathlete that was, she's a lawyer, she's a triathlete, she doesn't have children, but she's a dog mom, she had some new puppies. This was just post-COVID, so there was a lot of issues and things on her mind as she was going through this. And she was talking about her training, and I had to kind of say, you're putting so much onto this race. And then we had to talk through why she was putting it on. And did she expect to, I had to just ask her, do you expect to win? Like, do you think you'll get your age group? Is that what you're shooting for? She's like, oh no, you know, I just wanted to finish. And then why are you doing this to yourself? And why are you doing this to yourself now? Like her whole point was the timing of it too. I said, can't you just defer it to and she's like, well, I could, but then what she was making that mean, it was really amazing as we talked, what it was making it mean is that she was going to let people down. And I'm like, what people? Like, who are you letting down? And and she kind of said Valerie, and I'm like, Valerie won't be let down. You know, I won't be let down. Your husband won't be let down. Your dog won't be let down. Like she was putting all this pressure on herself because of this made up thought of I'm going to let people down. And it was really a wonderful conversation. And she did wind up deferring and had a much better race when she did it. But the point is, guys, this mental side of when you're training, and I think you've talked about it, Valerie, Kipchoge works through a lot of the mental stuff when he's training. Is that right? Am I getting that story right?
And you know, I mean, we're having this conversation, like the Olympics just started, so we haven't gotten to see what happens with Kipchoge. Like there's so much excitement going on with this marathon, with this whole Olympics, by the way. So this would be like, it hasn't happened. Well, it's happened after you've heard this, so you'll know, and I'll be, who knows? We'll know then. But you know, one of the things, in fact, right before we got on the phone, Caroline and I was telling her, there's a woman we're both friendly with, and her nephew is a runner in the Olympics. And so of course we don't know him, but we feel like we know him because we know his family. And he in Tokyo got fourth in his event. So, you know, he did not get a medal. And now here it is 4 years later, and he got on the podium. He got a bronze, and the race he ran was so exciting. So his name's Grant Fisher. So exciting. He won the 10, he won bronze in the 10K, and he got to race with like his idol. The guy that won the gold is a just a specialist in the 10K. And one of the things that they talked about Grant and his running is they said he has no fear. So he got right up in the front. He got himself up there, and then he stayed, like he hung on. It's like, I think 26 laps. It's either 21 or 26 for the 10K. It's a lot of laps. And he even tripped one time and recovered. Like, it was just the most exciting 10K race I've ever seen. And you know, though, like he has had to wait 4 years to get back to this race. So and it's like, we've all watched Simone. Now, she did win gold. She's so incredible. And, you know, she got the yips in the last Olympics.
Right.
And had to drop out. And she's done is work on herself and her mental health. And she said that every morning she's with her therapist on the phone, online or whatnot. And she said, it's amazing how when you start to put other things, like your person is more important than your sport, then you can handle these things in your sport so much better. So there's so much more conversation now, right, about the mental health and the, you know, all of the, how you need to be self-positive. And by the way, guys, like, there's also, like, I had a friend one time and she wanted to get to Boston, and she had tried seven marathons and failed. So I said, the marathon we picked was on purpose, a faster, you know, quote, faster marathon, which means it doesn't have a ton of hills. So I said, I'm going to meet you for the last 10K and I'm going to pace you. And we had another friend that was going to pace her for the, until I got there. So she had to run the first half by herself because I said, you need to start on your own. This is your race and this is your event, but we're going to help you finish and get to your goal line. So here I am at the last 10K and she's hitting the wall. I mean, and everyone has ever run a marathon knows, like, once you hit that wall, the self-talk is all you have. Like, you have got to get yourself to keep moving. So I, of course, being Valerie, first thing I do is I was like, we are going to do up, 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 exhale. We're going to do up, two, three, breathe. Like, your only thought is up and breathe. So I'm like right next to her. And I'm like, because I, of course, I'm not tired. I haven't run. Mm-hmm. I haven't run 20 miles. So I'm just setting a pace and just having her focus. And then I'm also, so our other friend ended up staying also because she got caught up in the moment. So she was doing like the affirmations, like, you've got this and come on, we can do it. And we're, you know, and then I was doing like the metronome, like up, 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 you know, like,
exactly.
We are going to do this. And then it was really funny because she's like, Valerie, I don't know if I can up, up, up. And he's like, shut up. I don't want to hear you say. And so I was like, all right, then we're just going to say finish line. Like, we've got to keep you on this page. You don't have a second. Like, when you cross that line, it's going to be on the nose. So then I had to be a little tough love. Like, we don't have time for you to be, tired right now. There's no time left. Like, we have to stay here. So it was funny because I was rotating through. Physically, I just need you to breathe and pull your foot. That's all you have to do. And so I would come in with the ups, and then of course the other girl's like, you got this. And then I would have to say, you want to see Boston. And she made it, guys. She made it.
Yeah.
And it was like two seconds. And I'm not kidding. And so I'm telling you that there's so much, you find yourself in racing, right? What do I have? What am I made of? And a lot of people talk about like the pain cave and all these things, but also there's a lot of suffering. You know, there really is, like, you're especially like, if I'm trying to get a time, I'm trying to, you know, beat my last time, or I just want to finish. There's so much of that. So the more you can have a positive mindset, one, because like Caroline, I say this all the time, like, being positive about your run, you know, whatever your race or your events is huge, but also having that mindset of like, all I can do right now is pull my foot up and breathe. So that's what I'm going to do. Telling you, it just makes life so much easier, or whatever your event is. Like when you can focus on the movement of what's going on, it also helps clear your mind of all those other thoughts.
And that being said, let's kind of, that's a great place to kind of end it. And I want you guys to think about this as you go out there and you decide what you're going to do, maybe for the fall marathon season, or maybe you're just getting started or coming back from an injury or what have you. This is paramount, like how you're going to train, how you're going to prepare for the what ifs that could happen, how you make it through that training day. But then I also want you to think about, what about the day after you finish the race? You did what you needed to do. Maybe all I wanted to do was finish it. Great, you finished it. All I wanted to do was hit that time. Great, you hit that time. All I wanted to do was get gold. Great, you got gold. Okay, so now what? There is a real malaise that comes up with, now I don't have the next thing. So when you're thinking about like your fall, what you want to run this fall, don't lock yourself into thinking just this fall, 2024 fall, like, okay, this fall I want to do this. I would love to maybe someday work into this. You know, I know that the Olympic athletes, when they get gold, they don't say, whoop, I'm done. You know, they take a little time and then they plan for the next one, which is 4 years away. And sometimes they make it, sometimes they don't. But let this be a lifetime journey, guys, so that that one either bad experience, tough experience, struggle, or great euphoric experience, I don't want you living in a cave, but I also don't want you to discount the goodness that can happen after you do hit that goal. I made that goal. People will hit the goal and then go, okay, next. No, relish it. Like, wear your medal to work the next day. Tell your friends, write in your journal, go have a great meal. Take that time to say, I did it, before you go, okay, now what? Now next. Kind of thing. So I just kind of want to wrap it up that way, guys, is that a lot of times we live in that struggle bus, or we prepare for that struggle bus, but then we don't prepare for the greatness and giving ourselves the ability to say, yes, pat me on the back. I did it, right? Uh-huh. I met that goal. So basically, that's how I want to end the call today. If you are curious about RunnerX and you haven't followed us before and you're just coming across this, maybe we just got snuck into your feed somehow, we would love for you to take a look at our page. It's runnerx.fit. That's runnerx.fit. I always get afraid I'm going to say .com. After 5 years, you'd think I'd get it. But go to our website, check out our membership if you're interested. We are putting together a new quiz. That's going to be an episode coming up. Go ahead and subscribe, because if you're listening to this today, we're going to be talking about some new concepts that we've been learning as we teach people around the world how to run pain-free. And we're going to be talking about that in the upcoming episodes. So hopefully you'll join us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunnerX podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runnerx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runnerx.fit.